This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Which, let's take out Game 3, which he was fantastic in. He has been ridiculously inefficient and awful in terms of from a shooting standpoint. I know you'll look and you'll see almost triple-double or triple-double most times, but again, you're talking about a guy who had 1 point in the second half, John, of a critical game. You lose that one to Portland, the series feels like it's over. It's 3-1 now, headed back to Portland. It's over. It feels like it's done. And again, this is one of the best players in the NBA. You only have 1 point. And so to sort of compound this in terms of the arrows that can come at you by the way you're responding in these post-game press conferences, typically, man, you know, if he's playing well and he's doing this, well, you can't say much because he's going out in the court and he's getting it done.
Right.
And it's sort of like when Pop does his thing.
It's true.
Well, Pop's Pop.
Yep.
He's the coach that he is, and we sort of let him do that thing. You know what I'm saying? When LeBron tells folks last year, hey, you know, great question, walks out of the room, well, when he backs it up with, you know, what he does on the court, KD's sort of the same way with this Beverly thing.
Yep.
We sort of stop that.
Yep.
And we stop hitting on him with the arrows. In this case, Russell has been unbelievably bad. I don't know why he's settling for the jumper. I don't know if it's to look, hey, look at Lillard and McCollum doing it. They're outshining me from the perimeter. Let me show folks I can shoot too with them.
Yep.
I think he's gotten caught up a little bit in that. Clearly Barry Trammell's gotten under his skin because it's again, you can act like you don't care. But when you respond to like that, much like we were talking about with KD and the way he's responding to the Beverly thing, just go out and play. When you respond the way you're responding to Barry, it looks like he's under your skin.
Right.
It looks like you're thinking about
it. No, I mean,
when quite
exactly
frankly,
right.
You should be thinking about helping your team get through this series. It's not a good look for him, John, when you put the bad basketball the bad attitude.
Russ is being the worst version of himself right now.
Well, he's got former teammates like Kendrick Perkins today on Get Up.
That was hard to watch,
tell an old story. Well,
Kendrick, not great on TV.
He's not, but he is in limited. He
kept looking down. Was he, like, reading something?
He was actually great on the jump. I thought they gave him too much this morning.
Get too much time
to break down, you know what I'm saying, instead
well, like
of shooting questions.
Him and Seth Greenberg, like,
but
what
dude,
a weird.
It was a weird combo.
Yeah.
But, dude, he's got something to offer. And today he was offering up what I thought was great insight on Russell Westbrook, just in terms of the leader he is, with a story he told about playing with him. He makes a bad pass.
I can't remember. To Ibaka.
Yep. Ibaka doesn't catch the ball.
He said, I'm not passing you no more.
He says he's not giving it to him anymore when Kendrick says it was clearly a bad pass, and he says, as the leader of that team, vocal leader Kendrick back in that day, pull Russ to the side, hey man, we got to live with your faults. But that story resonated in the sense that when you watch Russell as a leader, watch Damian Lillard. He's got them believing this year.
He does.
That's a leader right there.
Yep.
Russ lacks those qualities. And you look at the line, oh, he's got assists, and we think, okay, well, he's helping other players. No one's raising their level of play because of what Russell Westbrook's doing. And right now, it looks dysfunctional, quite frankly.
It does.
It shouldn't look
this bad. And they're
about
to lose in five.
He's been bad. I don't know why he's just not getting to the rim and settling for these jumpers. It's ridiculous.
Right.
I got a crazy shooting stat on him that you wouldn't – I went and found it that you wouldn't believe. Now, you take out – I think it was his 11 of 22 that he was in game three when he had that monster game. I think 33, he was really good and they won. He's shooting 31% from the field in the three losses. That is 18 of 58, John. 3 of 17 from 3 at 17%.
That's
he looks pedestrian in terms
brutal.
Of shooting right now. Worse than pedestrian. He shouldn't be taking all these. Get to the basket, man. But it feels like it's too late. The series is over. I'm disappointed in OKC, if you can't tell.
Yeah, the best series, as Franklin tweets us, is Spurs Nuggets. That's turned
it has
out to be
been.
A good series.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be, right? I'm sure if you ask the Nuggets, they're like, this should not be a good series, but it turned out to be. But I think the point is that you just don't have the matchups in this particular round. And I think you look at the second round, it'll drastically improve. The matchups will improve. That's the way it goes. But I don't think we need seven games to determine the majority.
Not this year we didn't. That's for dang sure.
But anyway, there you go. Lots more to come here on the show, including something I heard about the Memphis Tigers schedule over the weekend, which I think you guys are really going to enjoy. And Supreme Bay is going to join us at 125. Stick around. Back in a minute. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I got. Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Immaculate conception, I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that put the kids to bed, this that I got.
The Casual Pint, they're at 395 South Highland. I suggest you get over there. It is the spot to be because it's the craft beer place in Memphis. We love locally owned and operated in Memphis. We support it, and we love it, especially when the product and the place is good, and I promise you it is. You're going to absolutely love the place. We're talking 28 beer taps, 2 8-foot-tall refrigerated coolers of cans, and your favorite bottled beer. You can do beer to go as well, which is a really cool feature. You do it with growler fills, mix of six packs. You do that out of the cooler or packaged off the dry shelf. It's for the serious beer folk. They don't have bartenders. They're so serious, they got beer tenders. Beer tenders you're going to get to know and love, Brad, Mel, David, Amber. You're going to love the place. Cool, comfortable, open-air atmosphere. Like I said, it's great for these spring days in Memphis that we'll get a few of. Got a couple of this weekend. And, of course, it's a great place to be. 395 South Highland. You want to experience the best craft beer spot in Memphis? Get over there. It's the Casual Pint, where beer lovers meet.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Jason Fitz is going to join us at 12:25. And then at 1:25, Supreme Bay. Wave God. He's doing a very cool thing in Memphis, helping those in need. A couple kids in need go to school, putting them through school.
Not a better call than that.
Who could not otherwise do it. So we will talk to him about that cause at 1:25. But right now, we got to do the rundown. Let's go.
Now, it's the rundown. The biggest midday stories from Jason and John. Everything y'all need on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, so last week, as we talked about, there was some potentially big news as it relates to the American Athletic Conference, and that is the alliance with the SEC. SEC. So in an effort to create more quality games during the non-conference, the SEC and the AAC, they've joined forces. They've joined forces to create and to form a scheduling alliance. Four schools from each conference are going to participate in 2-year home-and-home series that begin this year. And we kind of threw it around last week when it was just announced. It was very raw, very
fresh.
It was
unfolding at that time.
It was very much unfolding before you and I had the opportunity to call around and to do a little digging. And so it was all live. And I think we came to the conclusion that given that Memphis already has a series with Tennessee, given that Memphis already has a series with Ole Miss, probably unlikely
that
Memphis would get and be involved in this.
Well, we said they were already playing two SEC teams, but when we found out the four teams that were actually available and not in the – what's the other challenge they were?
Big 12.
The Big 12 SEC challenges. Well, it would be nice to have one against Auburn or one of these teams. But to your point, yes, it looked – you had two SEC games already. Are you sure you wanted to lock in with another one?
Right.
That said, you would have loved to have had Auburn or one of these others.
Is Auburn, Georgia – what was the other two? Mississippi State.
There was one more.
LSU. Mm-hmm. LSU. Obviously, LSU, you've already had that one. So you're not going to do them. Auburn would have been great. Georgia would have been great. Mississippi State, I'm less interested in. You're already playing Ole Miss. Don't really think you need another Mississippi school series. I just don't.
Georgia's got Edwards.
I'm not interested in that very much. However, I've made some calls over the weekend, and I have reason to believe that next season Memphis will be involved.
Yeah. Folks, they want it. ESPN wants it.
Memphis will be involved with the SEC and the AAC alliance. And I, at this time, feel pretty good that Memphis is going to play Georgia next season. Memphis will face Georgia as a part of this alliance. That is at least that is my understanding. It makes a lot of sense because Tom Crean is at Georgia. Mm-hmm. They appear to maybe perhaps be on the right, you know, maybe, you know, they got Anthony Edwards. They got the number one player in America, not named James Wiseman. So you have the co-number one players in America facing off in this game.
Right.
My understanding is it would start there, and then obviously it would return to Memphis for 2020. That would mean, if what I'm hearing is true, that Memphis is playing three SEC teams next season, two of them on the road.
Hmm. Well, Tennessee obviously was already built in. I mean, yeah, I'm good with playing.
I like it. I mean, it's Anthony Edwards.
I'm not going to lie to you. I would have preferred Auburn. I don't know how much.
I agree.
I know Crean is building Georgia back. I don't know how ready they are to be awesome next year with just Anthony Edwards. It's going to obviously take a lot more. My point is, next year, your resume is going to matter. We're looking at a Memphis team that right now could be looking at whether it's a 2 seed or a 3 seed possibly. Maybe a 1 seed. Who knows? I mean, you add R.J. Hampton, what we're talking about.
Yep.
You know, who knows? But my point is, resume going to really matter when it comes to things like seeding. And from that standpoint, John, I like the idea that you're getting an SEC team that's good,
yep.
Right? But, again, I don't know how much Georgia next year necessarily helps you. I just keep Ben Simmons, LSU, wasn't necessarily that great. Great on folks' schedule that year. I suspect Crean will have a good team. But, again, that's still a young team.
He's a better coach than Johnny Jones, though.
No question about it. He is. But it's a better league now.
They are not a projected tournament team.
That's what I'm saying. It's a better league now than it used to be. And that's just Anthony Edwards right now with a Georgia team that otherwise would not be expected to go to the tournament.
Yeah, so anyway, that's what I heard over the weekend, that Memphis is going to play Georgia as a part of this. And I imagine that it won't be announced until next month, obviously.
And Lord knows you're not getting Anthony Edwards in the forum in 2 years because that's a one-and-done situation. So
right, exactly.
It'll all depend on,
at least you do get him. I mean,
oh, you get the one.
That's an interesting matchup.
Oh, dude, I know why ESPN wants it. You know why. That's exactly what John said. You're going to sell that as two of the guys that could go number one in the 2020 draft. With Anthony Edwards and James Wiseman. So I get it all day for ESPN.
But I mean, their schedule actually is going to be pretty damn good. I mean, I know Georgia is...
Well, it's a win, and that's what I'd hope. If I'm Memphis, I can beat that, and that's good on the schedule.
So you've got...
It's a road win.
You've got NC State in Barclays. You got the NC State game. I don't know anything about NC State, do you?
Well, they should have. They could. They had a case to make the tournament this year. Return most of
that. Okay, so they'll be a tournament team.
They're going to be a tournament team.
So that'll be a big game for them.
Yes,
be a big game for them. You've got Ole Miss coming to the Forum, and they were a tournament team last year. You've got Tennessee on the road. Depending on what Grant Williams does, you know, we'll see how good they'll be, but that'll still be a hell of an environment there on the road.
And they got
Tennessee.
Josiah James coming in. I mean,
yeah,
it'll be good.
No question. Much harder if obviously if Grant's still there. Who else am I missing? Georgia potentially, if what I'm being told is true, as part of this SEC/AAC alliance.
But you got Tim Duncan's old school Northeastern or something on there.
It is his old school. He's out.
Yeah.
He's the
shout
AD
out to Tim Duncan.
New Orleans today. That was announced today, I should say.
Moving from deputy AD, wasn't it at Northeastern?
Yeah.
Now,
am I missing anybody?
I think you got most of them.
I'd heard Georgetown was a possibility. I mean,
don't still feel like it will be?
I don't know.
Like we said last week, it feels like Penny's wanted to get that done.
Yeah. Are they a projected tournament team next year? I don't know how to look.
Like I said, that's been one of them.
Yeah.
Okay, if you want to.
Right. It's not. They're not the Georgetown of 10 years ago,
right,
you know.
Right. But again, from a brand standpoint, from it's him and Pat, and that'll make a bunch of storylines.
That's how I feel with Georgia.
I'm down
with Anthony
that.
Edwards. And Tom Crean's a good coach. That's just kind of how I feel.
Dude,
on
the whole nation will be watching Memphis, Georgia because of Wiseman Anthony Edwards.
No doubt.
You'll get a road win, which is a good thing for Memphis.
No
like,
question.
I can get down with it this year. I don't know what it looks like in 2 years.
I think it's a good schedule. I don't know if it won't be like – Let me ask you this. Is next year's schedule better than last year's schedule? Last year's schedule was really tough because you got Texas Tech in a neutral site.
It's probably better from a win.
LSU on the road.
It's probably better from a seeding standpoint, what you're actually going to get out of it. I mean, right? You'd like to see a few more, you know, marquee teams down. But, again, a lot of that's out of Penny's hands. This is the year that it goes to Tennessee, so you don't have that back. That was done before Penny, obviously. So, look, I like where he's getting it to, and I like the direction he wants to go. Penny knows people want marquee games down there. That's the direction he's headed in. I think the schedule's perfect for what this squad's going to be, and that's what I'm talking about. If you put together what we've sort of said can happen with Lester and with Precious and with R.J. Hampton, John, you could be talking about a 2 or 3 seed, like running through the AAC. And, again, that's
– Yep.
I mean, that's at a level where you've not been in a while, in a long time,
I mean,
very long time.
2008.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about, like, you're going to have your most talented team, don't you think? I mean, 2010 was really talented. 2010 was a beast.
I mean, the fact that they had, you know, if you started out and you want to include Jalen Kendrick and Will Barton and the fact that they had all those five stars, yeah.
But they didn't have
but
anybody
again,
like
these
James.
These are guys that are projected to go in to go top three in the 2020 draft.
Yeah, it's a different breed, man.
Right, right. I mean, at least with James Wiseman, Precious is a one-and-done guy.
Yep.
You get R.J. Hampton, that's another one-and-done. How many of those guys, John, were one-and-done guys?
Agreed.
You know, at the same time.
Oh, Oregon. We forgot Oregon. They're playing Oregon as well.
Oh, of course, in the Nike game.
Yeah, thanks to Josh for pointing that out. So, yeah, I mean, there's –
it did feel like we were leaving one.
Yeah, so that's honestly, that's a hell of a schedule. You got Oregon. That's technically a neutral site, but it's in Portland, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a road game. You've got Georgia. This would be on the road, is my understanding. Tennessee on the road. So you're going to be tested. You're going to be tested big time. But, yes, to your point
They got the horses to do it now.
No doubt. I mean, if you add everybody that we just talked about, Precious, again, is if you missed it, he is at Gus's as we speak as part of his official visit, getting lunch. This is an important week for the University of Memphis staff.
I wish I could send them some Wing Guru.
Yeah. You know, listen, some people have to learn on their own, you know, and you have to let them learn on their own. But this is an important week for the University of Memphis and that staff because, you know, this is all about Precious. This isn't just Precious coming in with a bunch of other guys, Boogie Ellis mm-hmm. and Trenton Watford and James, where clearly that night was sort of catered to impressing the crap out of James and the Memphis kids, right? This is all about Precious and showing him firsthand.
And his family.
No doubt. And this is what
I love that they're here.
This is what we have. This is what we can do. This is how you fit in. This is where you close. Now, I don't mean close in the sense of it gets done on Wednesday, but this is where you make your true pitch to Precious. You know, this is what we believe will happen for you at Memphis. And so it's important. It's a significant visit for sure. Like I said, I've been told that Memphis and Georgia will face off as part of this SEC-AAC, which means Georgia would come back in 2020. Who knows what anybody's roster will look like then.
Won't have Andy Edwards on it.
Nope, and Memphis won't have James Wiseman, yeah, or Precious. Well,
definitely won't have Precious.
You know,
one way or the other, it won't have Precious.
But Memphis could have Jalen Green.
Could.
They could have Jalen Green, for sure. Memphis is absolutely – I mean, I know I saw that script.
I mean, could have Matthew Morrell by that time.
Matthew Morrell and Jalen Green, my goodness.
Matthew Morrell stud, brother.
Dude, I mean, that is intoxicating as well.
Well, it's much of it is with Penny.
It's like it's.
Haven't we just been drunk since he got this gig last spring?
Yeah,
so it's been about a year now.
I've been hydrating. I got my alkaline water because I'm trying.
Drunk on enthusiasm for this program?
No doubt about it. So anyway, that's the latest, man. Things are exciting over there.
All you do is drop bombs.
That's it, man.
Next story.
Martin bombs doesn't have quite this. We gotta get you something.
How about
I got caulk bomb. You got every. Whoa, we gotta get something for these bombs.
See, caulk bomb
dropping.
Is good. Well, maybe we shouldn't do bombs. Maybe
something new.
We should change
an original.
Like I got patty pump teardrops.
Let me get a shout out real fast to Jeremiah Martin, if you don't mind.
Please.
Who was a stud in the Portsmouth Invitational over the weekend through last week? Averaged 15 points, 5.3 rebounds, and 5.6 assists in the three games. They came up short in the championship game, lost 90-81, but he was fantastic. So fantastic that he was named to the Portsmouth Invitational. All tournament team. And as a matter of fact, as a way of trying to show you guys that not just John doing all the hard work on this show, I'm going to try to do a little work as well and maybe add a little something for you. Reached out to an NBA scout this morning about Jeremiah Martin, who again was fantastic. We don't need to go back through what he did at Memphis as a senior this year. Averaged about 20 points, was fantastic all year. We said if he shined in Portsmouth, we thought it would give him an opportunity to get even more invites to workouts with NBA teams because we're still trying to figure out if Jeremiah Martin at 6'3 and a guy who could play some defense, knock down the he's shown he can score. What he's going to have to do, obviously, is show he can knock down the shot. Can a guy like that work himself into the draft? So I asked an NBA scout this morning, texted with him. I'll read you what he said. Played well, was talking about Jeremiah in the Portsmouth. Needs to continue working on his shot from behind the NBA line. I can see him getting a number of workouts after Pitt, Portsmouth Invitational.
Yep.
He can't take his foot off the gas, has to continue to work hard. I don't think you'll have to worry about the latter part of that. Jeremiah ain't somebody that's going to go out and get
that's
the big
awesome.
Head. He's got work to do. Clearly this scout believes, but I'm telling you right now, he's put himself on that radar, and he's getting there. He's going to get a lot more workout invites because of this performance in the Portsmouth.
That's terrific, man. And I
it's
I,
just continuing a great story, right?
Yeah, it is.
You want to see him go up there and not shine after a great year, and you just it feels like the momentum's building for Jeremiah. Like
no
he keeps
question.
Adding to it. He went up there and showed these guys he could be a leader in terms of floor leader. First game, he had 9 assists and only 2 turnovers. So he's done so far. The things that have been asked of him, I agree with that scout. Got to show it from the NBA line that you can knock down that shot. But a great, great offseason so far, or at least preparation so far for being a pro for Jeremiah Martin. It's good news, all good news so far.
I agree with that scout wholeheartedly. I think that's all of that is absolutely true. What a brilliant scout you dealt with there.
Mm-hmm. I got a couple of them
one
now.
One of the bright minds.
I got a couple of them now, so you don't know which one it was. I see what you're trying to do. You're trying
I got a
to
couple
say you
too.
Know who my scout was. I got a couple now.
I'm I got a couple
on,
too.
Working on a few.
I got one.
So I'm going to throw you off next time.
I'm going to tell you one. I got one right now who works for a playoff team. Boom. How you doing?
I do too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got one.
I got one who's advancing.
I got one.
I got one who's advancing.
I got one with the whose team's won some titles.
I got one who's.
Stop, man. This is a feel like a pissing contest. I'm not doing this.
I took one to Huey's.
I'm not getting caught up in this with you. You took a NBA scout to Huey's?
Yes.
Boy, you are plugged in. Who you say Memphis is playing this year? Georgia? I'll start believing everything come out of your mouth.
Nope, don't do that. That's okay. A mistake.
All right.
That's a mistake. I don't want to be in that position, man. I want everybody to keep doubting me. I like it better that way. I'm like Aaron Rodgers.
We ain't Bennett Mills, they know like 20 NBA scouts between them. We got nothing. This is like us bragging on 17th best show in the country, and Parrish had won.
Well, we wouldn't have done that had we knew. Had we? I wish
had
I knew
what
then
Jerry was
what I know now.
Get.
And then a Toby Keith song. I can't remember how it goes. Anyway, we'll come back. Jason Fitz is going to join us. The NFL draft is this week. We will talk to him about that
I don't have
and more. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN, and every Monday at this time, we talk to Jason Fitz. Let's get it.
It's ESPN's Jason Fitz, host of Spain and Fitz and SportsCenter on Snapchat. Listen to Jason every weeknight on 92.9 FM ESPN and 680 AM, and hear him now live with Jason and John.
Fitz, you okay, man? I thought we were going to lose you there for a minute.
Well, first and foremost, I can't believe you just let me interrupt Stevie Wonder. I don't feel good about that. Like, I'm not sure that that's allowed to happen, but, yeah, you know, I'll be honest. Last Monday, I was on Golic and Wingo, and when I left, I called the doctor and said, I'm either going to the hospital or I'm coming to you because I don't feel good. Everybody thought maybe I was exaggerating. Nah, had a fever of 104, good had strep, grief. Had the flu, have a sinus infection. I'm on enough antibiotics to kill a small horse, but let's go. I'm still ready.
Would they have to quarantine you, Jason?
They thought about putting me in the hospital. I'm going to be honest. I thought
good
they did.
Lord.
I'm one of those human beings that sleeps like, if I sleep 6 hours in a night, I'm like, that was a good night. I went to sleep like Monday afternoon, and I didn't get out of bed until Wednesday night. So it was rough, but now, man, I got all this draft energy. I feel
awesome.
Good now.
We are glad you're back and healthy and you're getting us prepared for the draft. Looks like you sat down with some pretty big stars here pre-draft. Tell me, solve this for me, for a guy that's outside of country music, on the outside looking in. Bigger star that you – which one's bigger, Urban or Brad Paisley? Keith Urban or Brad Paisley, which one's a bigger star?
Woo, that is one of the, like, toughest questions. To most people, I think the answer to that is Brad Paisley.
Okay.
For my money, it's Keith Urban. I'll never forget when I was touring with the band Perry. We opened for Keith for a while, and day one, I get this tap on my shoulder, and I look over, and he's like, hey, I'm Keith. Let me know if you need anything. And just the nicest human being the whole time, I was like, he's a rock god. I mean, Brad's sort of a dorky guy as a general rule. He's kind of a you know, he's just kind of a geeky individual in a really awesome way. But Keith's just got this thing. So, like, for my money, Keith. But your random fun fact, of all the artists I sat down with, we talk about bigger star, Rascal Flatts is the one that sold the most records. So, you know, that's got to count for something, too. So we did a dozen sit-downs, like you mentioned, Brad Keith, Flatts, Zach Brown Band, Darius Rucker, Little Big Town, Vince Gill. I mean, we sat down with a ton of artists, and don't worry, we didn't have them break down any three technique. We had them talk about everything from, you know, trash-talking in their fantasy football leagues to, you know, how they watch games on the road, and most of them are big fans. So talking about, like, fan moments that they remember and favorite moments they watch games. I mean, it's really cool content. And
yeah.
It's going to air throughout the draft on ABC and ESPN. It's all been cut into little minute segments. So whenever there's a minute on the draft where they can just sort of shoot in a little star power, they're going to do that. And I'm really honored that I got to do those sit-downs.
Big time.
I'm going to let you in on a little fact about me, Fitz. My karaoke song is I Melt by Rascal Flatts.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to let you in on a fact now. I want to see this.
No, you don't.
Because let me tell you, you got to wear your tight pants to sing. To sing any Rascal Flatts, you got to wear the tight undies, man. It's the only way you can do it.
I will. I'm telling you. I'm looking. I mean, and there's plenty of spots that we could take care of this at in Nashville for sure. All right, so let's talk about the NFL draft. What quarterback are you absolutely planting your flag in the ground for in this draft? Is there one?
There is not one. And this is, man, I just keep saying this. Look, it was, 6 weeks ago that we were all convinced Dwayne Haskins was the best prospect in the draft? But there was a real conversation that Justin Herbert out of Oregon, if he came out, would have been a top overall type pick. The fact is, every quarterback expert I've talked to, when I asked them, Kyler Murray last year, where would he have ranked amongst the quarterbacks? The answer is third or fourth. The third or fourth. I don't take the third or fourth best quarterback from last year, this year, even if I'm sitting with the number one overall pick in the draft. I know it's an unpopular answer, but, man, if you're the Giants, for example, and we're all infatuated with the Giants' need a quarterback,
right?
Sometimes the best thing you can do is just take the best player available, because if you're wrong at quarterback, you're wrong for 5 years for your franchise. Mm. Next year's got a great quarterback class. If I'm a quarterback needy team, I'm sitting on the sidelines, let everybody else fight over it, and I'm waiting until next year.
So if you're Arizona, do you keep it simple and go defense, or do you use other teams, you know, maybe sort of their you know, infatuation with Kyler Murray, let them move up, maybe you trade back? Which way are you playing it, Jason?
I mean, if I'm Arizona, I'm taking the best player on the board. Look, that's, in my mind, that's Nick Bosa.
It's Bosa.
It's also Quinnen Williams, I think, is up there for a lot of people. Look, as much as we want to talk about Josh Rosen and what he means for the Cardinals, let's also just acknowledge the fact that that team is devoid of talent top to bottom.
No
they
doubt.
Need to start getting talented people. I don't think they'll get enough in trade to sort of work their way back. And it's really interesting. I want everybody to really remember this one thing about trading back. We all have it in our minds that that's what our favorite team should do, especially if you have a lot of needs. But you have to have somebody passionate about trading up. And that's not always easy to do. And you know, at some point you have to look at it and say, hey, maybe I'd love to get Nick Bosa at third or Nick Bosa at fourth. You know, maybe that's where you are, Quinnen Williams at fourth. Maybe that's your mindset. That doesn't mean that you can move down to four and still get the player.
Right.
So if you've got the right player, go get him. I don't care about what draft value tells. Go get yourself the best player possible at the pick that you have if you can't trade down.
We are, of course, talking to Jason Fitz. You can hear him evenings here on 92.9 FM, ESPN Spain, and Fitz joins us every Monday here on the show. The big news from late last week, that my partner gave me a lot of crap for and a lot of grief for is the decision by John Gruden and Mike Mayock to just send everybody home with a week to go before the NFL draft. Does this signify chaos, or is this just basically doing something they were already going to do anyway, which was clean house?
Well, and you're it's the latter. It's cleaning house like they were going to do anyway. Look, we got to remember that we're so used to the term Black Monday, where coaches get fired at the end of the regular season. We have to remember that that day for scouts is the Monday after the draft. And the reason for that is, if you're a new GM, when you come in, the scouting people have been working tirelessly for months. You can't bring scouts in quick enough to get them up to speed. You also, if you fire all your scouts, you'd be giving away whatever your draft strategy was inside your building. You don't want to do either of those things. So you wait till the day after the draft is over. That's when scouts are typically fired. So for the Raiders particularly, they've got a whole staff that the minute Mike Mayock was hired was likely to be fired. Let's also remember that one of the scouts on that staff is Raleigh McKenzie, the twin brother of Reggie McKenzie, the former GM. So if you have any trust issue as an organization where you think something might get out to, I don't know, somebody's brother, and there's not a great relationship there, you send them home. Their work is done. They're not going to do anything else at this point. Mayock and Gruden are going to make the decisions. The scouts have turned in their reports. So now you clear the room and you make sure that nobody knows your logic except for those two guys. I don't have a problem with that. I think the alarming thing is in today's NFL world, it became such a story, which to me says that that there is still bad blood between the McKenzies and Gruden.
Most mocks I've seen, Jason, have got the Titans addressing the secondary in some way. I think McShay had them taking DeAndre Baker, the cornerback out of Georgia. Is that the right position for them to address in first round for you?
Yeah, I feel like it. I mean, here's the problem, and I feel like every year I say this. If you think you have a franchise quarterback, then you owe it to your franchise quarterback to give him whatever weapons he possibly needs, right? And so I want to see if this was one of those years where you felt like, man, there was just that wide receiver prospect that was going to change the world. I could see that in the first round just because you got to give Mariota more weapons. I just don't think that that exists. So if you're not going to put yourself in that situation, then you have to arm yourself for the best possible way that you can get better in your division. They need help in the secondary. I also wouldn't have any problem with them going, especially when you're picking around 19. I think anytime you can get somebody that can be a front seven rotational player, that's also a strength for you. I mean, getting after the quarterback or slowing down the pass is going to make the most sense for them, because they've already got so much lined up in other spots offensively, monetarily, and because I don't think that there's a game breaker they can really rely on. Do you really want to bring in another wide receiver you're going to develop at the same time you're waiting for Corey Davis to take a big step forward? I don't think so. So secondary makes sense.
Fitz, let me ask you one more thing. You know Nashville so well. We do a regular hit with Clay Travis, who last week we were going back. Now, I don't believe half the stuff that comes out of Clay's mouth, but last week we were going back and forth about Memphis, Nashville, who's better. And he says, well, we're 1 year here, we're going to get the Super Bowl. It's going to be coming. We're going to get it to Nashville. Could it handle it here down the road? Could Nashville eventually get a Super Bowl? It is popping, and it's got a draft. What do you think?
No. And I think the draft is going to become the olive branch that's extended to cities that can't get a Super Bowl. And this is where Clay is wrong, frankly. And Clay's heck of a lot smarter than I am and has a lot bigger following than I am. So I know he can come after me. But where Clay is wrong, and this is a really rudimentary thing, is you can't get a Super Bowl without a set number of hotel rooms within vicinity.
Yes.
And there is no way, even though they've got cranes in the air and they're desperately trying to build, realistically, there's two things that would need to happen in my mind for Nashville to really become a contender. One, they need a ton of hotel rooms, which they're not going to get in time. And two, I still think that they would need a stadium upgrade that included a roof or some sort of retractable roof. I don't think the community of Nashville is ready for the battle that is going to come. And I do mean battle when it comes to that stadium, because Nissan Stadium is not, in my mind, up to par with where other modern stadiums are.
Mm-hmm.
And in a world where Vegas is going to write a $2 billion check for the Raiders to get a new stadium, in a world where San Diego's leverage for every team that wants to loot, I mean, does Nashville really want to put in a tax to try and fund a stadium? I don't think so. And I don't think Titans fans are passionate enough to fight that battle. So, you know, to Clay's point, I don't think Nashville wants a Super Bowl because they're not ready for that fight.
Interesting. We are, of course, talking to Jason Fitz, who you can hear evenings here on 92.9 FM ESPN with Sarah Spain. It is Spain and Fitz. All right, on to the NBA playoffs, which have been nondescript, to say the least. We will not remember much, certainly on the court, from this first round of NBA playoffs. Dan Wolkin over at USA Today has an interesting column. It's about Russell Westbrook and sort of, not necessarily his play on the court, but just sort of his antics off of it and the way that he treats the media, how sort of disinterested he is when it comes to answering questions. Next question, I don't have an answer for that. Next question. He sort of asked the question, should the NBA start worrying that it is creating too big of a gulf between players and fans? Ratings are down big time. What say you, Fitz?
I don't think there's a problem long term. I think, you know, it's such a simple answer, but let's be honest. I mean, ratings are down because LeBron played on a terrible Lakers team that was buried into late games that people don't stay up to watch on Thursday nights. I mean, that's I know that feels like oversimplification, but my God, we were just talking about the NFL ratings a few years ago and how, oh, they were never going to recoup from all of these difficulties. And then it's like, what do you know? Some flashy quarterbacks and everything's going to be fine. Like, Zion's coming next year. And I'm sorry, but Zion's going to be a ratings 100%, blockbuster.
Yes.
And if Zion goes to the Knicks, oh, my God. I mean, Zion to the Knicks is going to be – you end up with Zion and Durant and Kyrie Irving play for the Knicks next year, and you really think we're going to have a star power conversation? Like, look, Russ just isn't a likable guy, and that happens. Every era of NBA superstar has a not likable guy, and he's not likable, and his teams don't win. But I think the funniest part about it is that we're sitting here just surprised by it. I mean, every year, like, this is why I was surprised Paul George stayed there. I mean – what are you going to OKC for? You're not going to OKC to win championships. So, you know, but does that mean there's a big problem? No, because I think the world's about to fall in love with Milwaukee, and they're going to find Giannis, and they're going to realize, wow, this was a team built the right way, air quotes, through the draft, and this is a team of nobodies in a small market. We're going to fall in love with that as we go through the playoffs. This whole narrative of the problem with the NBA goes away as Giannis becomes a bigger star, as Joel Embiid continues to make people laugh as he does his thing, and then when Zion comes in, NBA can be just fine.
Fitz, you, John, and I all thought AAF to Memphis was big. Just wait till Zion to Memphis. Just wait till you see what it does for the Memphis Grizzlies in this city.
That's right.
Would that not be incredible, though? Like, I want to live in a world where Zion plays in Memphis. Like, that would be.
Like, we want to be in that world too, Jason.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine, though, like, the NBA pulling their hair out if somehow this lottery comes through and Phoenix gets Zion? They're just going to be like, just throw your hands up and be like, never mind. It's opportunity wasted at this point. I mean, Zion going to someplace like Memphis, I think, would be spectacular for the NBA, especially, like I said, in this Giannis culture that we're about to be blown up into. Like, mm-hmm. if you can find a likable young superstar that's unstoppable and, oh, by the way, falls in love with the city he's playing in, that is how the NBA wins in these small market conversations.
Yeah, we're hoping.
Yeah, I think he'll be a Knick, though. I think he'll they'll find a way to make sure that Zion's a Knick. Jason, you're the best, man.
Happy you're healthy. Happy you're back, man. Thank you for this.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great week. Enjoy the draft.
Yes, sir. He is Jason Fitz. Joins us every single week when he can. When he's healthy during
the
year. All right, lots more to come here on the show. Supreme Bay. All hail Supreme Wave God. The artist formerly known as Chris Douglas Roberts. He is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the CDR Supreme Dream Scholarship Fund that he is starting. Get your details on that, and we'll just wrap with CDR. I mean, that's what we're going to do.
We'll talk a little basketball. It's always fun.
Yep, so all that and more at 1:25. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM, and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, so Lewis is a loyal listener to the show, and he's had multiple conversations with the Live Love Memphis team over the last several months. He's been going back and forth, kind of waffling, right? Wasn't really sure, did I want to sell the house? Do I not want to sell the house? What do I do here? He finally decided that he wanted to get his home sold, and of course he picked the Live Love Memphis group because we said he should.
It's just the way it goes. He listed his house last Monday. It was a great Easter weekend for Lewis because that thing is under contract for list price. He's done.
Glad we could help him. More specifically, the folks at Live Love can help him. They could help you, too. They helped me. They've helped Lewis. Why don't you want to get in line? The website's livelovememphis.com. You should go check it out. Do your research. When you're ready to call, because you will be, the phone number is 901-685-6000. Again, that number, 685-6000. The person I asked for is Jennifer Carstensen. You got a home you need sold. It's pretty simple. Give it to the right folks. They're the Live Love Memphis group. They'll get that home sold for you, and if you'd like, get you into your dream home like they did me, like they've done for Lewis. They'll do it for you as well. The Live Love Memphis group, some hardworking folks. Let them help you get a new home.
All right, so a little bit later in the show, as we've talked about, Precious Achiuwa is a five-star forward who is here on an official visit to the University of Memphis, wrapping up lunch at Gus's.
Bro, you are on top of things.
I mean, you say it like it's news, bro.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, you tweeted when he got there. When he got there, now you were like, do you got
I'm
somebody?
I'm honest with you.
You got
what
somebody?
Did he order? What did he eat?
You got somebody in the kitchen, bro?
No, I got God's gift. Me and God's gift go back. Me, his brother, God's gift, Achiuwa.
Got you.
Yeah, me and God's gift go way back.
But, yeah, when you threw that on me earlier and you said he played college basketball, that's his real name.
God's gift, yes.
Yeah, I did
he
not
played
know,
at St. John's.
I did not know he had a brother named God's Gift that played for St. John's. I just didn't know it.
Yeah, his name is God's Gift, which will also coincidentally be my firstborn child's name as well.
So you're talking to God's Gift.
That's right.
Well, can you tell God's Gift may want to make a stop over by the Wing Guru?
Come on. I mean, I told him, but you know, he's God's Gift. I mean, he ain't going to listen to me.
Well, no, he doesn't need to.
He is divinely sent.
I believe it.
As you know. Precious Achiuwa is on his visit to the University of Memphis. At 1 o'clock, we're going to take calls from you, the listener, because we want to hear, you know, listen, in the spirit of him being on campus and how important this visit is.
Oh, yeah.
It takes a village, does it not, Jason?
Well, we proved it. Haven't we not proven that for two and a half years on this show, John? Everybody knows. I mean, it takes a village. It takes all of the city. And so why not do a we thought at 1 o'clock we'd do a sort of a pitch to Precious, because you never know, John Martin. Precious could be listening.
Precious could always be listening.
Mm-hmm. You remember, and you guys remember now, and I think it's part of the reason why Glenn Ciprian doesn't talk to us to this day, John.
He doesn't.
The city responded when we said that they needed to recruit Damian Ball, and my goodness, if it didn't work, Damian Ball committed not soon after. You guys know how this works. We do our part. You guys do your part. Maybe this thing all goes together. Again, Precious could be listening. You never know.
Yeah.
Your pitch to Precious.
Yeah, and you know what?
He knows my.
I hate the fact that we lost Sip. I'm gonna be honest with you. I hate that one.
Gonna get him back. Sip's a good guy.
I'm not sure if we'll get him back,
dude. I got through it with him. That's what I'm saying. Sip comes back. Remember, I had the fallout. We talked about. We all laughed about it. Him and Jack don't get along. Ha ha ha! Got cursed out. You see, we survived that. Sip and I. So we'll survive this.
But you are hurting his pocketbooks when you did that, though. You in his pockets now. I mean, you over here, you know, having guys on the show the day they commit to Memphis.
Hold on now. Now it's just me that went out and got Damian Ball. Sip should have no problem with you. That wasn't a show deal.
I was just doing my job, asking the questions.
And
that
the city did its job. And Sip can't hate on the city because he's lived here and he knows how passionate it is about his Tiger. Sip chalked that one up. It's 1-1. He got the Ramsey kid.
He did.
That's why we got to take Cairo.
And James's Ramsey was ranked higher.
Sip loves us. Again, I understand the initial frustration when Penny beat you for a player. Again, Penny beat you, right? Not the Jason and John show. Penny beat you.
How good, by the way, is James Ramsey going to be at Texas Tech?
Barry.
Like, he's going to be awesome there.
We see what they do is develop guys. I mean, that's their thing. Culver didn't even go down there as some kind of, top 10
No
guy.
Doubt.
They developed Jared Culver, and you see now he's a lottery guy. And so that's what they sort of specialize in, I would say.
Yeah, so anyway, that's coming up on the show. Supreme Bey, as we talked about a little bit earlier, he is going to be back in Memphis in June. It's the first or second week. It's June 7th and 8th. And on June 7th, he is having a high-end poker tournament.
What does that mean? Doesn't that mean that's for the big weeks?
Well, it's
when you guys have to put high end in front of it. Where do they do that?
It's a $350 entry. Not quite World Series of Poker main event. You know how much it costs to get into the main event? It's the event that you see on ESPN all the time in
July.
I'm
very, very familiar with that, John.
You know how much it costs to get in that?
I'm going
to take a gander.
I'm going to say $5,000.
Double it.
10.
It's $10,000 to enter the main event. Now, you can also win a satellite to that, which means you can win, like, a smaller tournament and win a seat.
So wouldn't some highbrow poker players that really play the game and really have to – wouldn't they say that calling 350 high end is probably
a little low end? A professional.
That's
poker
what I'm saying. But you guys calling it high end, you should just say it's poker. When you guys, you know, it'll be classy.
Yes, it will.
I'm
be
just
classy.
Saying
350. Like
so 350. The rich guys over in Southwind are laughing at us right now.
Well, of course,
because we're calling
they're
end.
They're doing that anyway. But the average buy in is like the average nightly tournament in Tunica. Is like 185 at most, 135, 185.
Okay,
so
well,
compared
okay.
to that, it is
okay,
you know, it's double the price of that.
You already know the buy-in. That seems like to me that you know you're going to be in there.
Well, I don't know, because if I win it, that's going to look like collusion. So but I want to help. I want to give back. So you know, that's kind of I'm in a weird spot with it.
Well,
but
why don't we take what you're going to spend for you and we put it all behind Mills?
We stake Mills?
Yes. And that way you won't have to worry about feeling that way. If indeed you did win, it would look like collusion. We can stick Mills in there, and you bankroll him. Let's do it.
I just love that John Martin's greatest fear was like, well, when I win this thing, you know, it's going to look kind of awkward.
Of course. Of course. He fancies himself
quite the poker player.
You got to look at that.
This is what we should say, because Mills has been there and seen it. How good a poker player is he?
Wow.
I'll be real honest. John Martin can play cards.
Wow.
John Martin's a real player.
Oh, my.
You
quick
hear that?
Riser.
He's a real player.
Because it's not like you've been playing for years.
I started, you're a fast riser
in the game.
I started last July.
Huh.
Like, seriously.
You're like Zach Kleiman.
I'm like the Zach Kleiman of Texas Hold'em. There's no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Quick riser.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe it more. I'm more inclined to believe it when Mills says it.
Thanks for saying that, Mills.
No, I'll be really honest. He came and played one of our home games, and we kind of thought we were going to take advantage of this dude.
Wow.
And he came in, and I tell you, he
was a buster. With a lot of money, you're going to take it. He looks like a mark. That's what we call him in the hood.
At first, he didn't do all that good, to be quite honest. But I'll tell you what, by the end of the night, John Martin was the one laughing, and we were the ones crying.
So don't invite John Martin to your poker party thinking you're going to take advantage of the novice. Don't do it, Memphis.
Oh, I'll put money on the table.
He's going to fatten his wallet on your face.
I'll put money on the table, but I'm leaving with it. You see what I'm saying?
I like that kind of talk.
I don't know how much, but I'm leaving with money in my pocket.
All right.
If that's, you know, or friendship. I mean friendship. Well, we're leaving with friendship. We don't play for money. That's
Supreme Bay doing it for a good cause. You just do it for yourself.
That is correct. Yeah. That is absolutely right. Lots of professional, like former, like pro athletes, I've talked about this before, they play poker. Like they retire, and that's what they do.
I'm hoping that we're going to have Earl Barron back to be playing
Earl Barron, I bet, will be here. They weren't teammates, but I could definitely see him coming in for that.
Tiger, big high-end poker.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to watch. That's what I'll do.
You're going to go to the event and you're going to watch?
I would. Well, that's all I could do. I'm not a poker player.
I'd love to see you. I'll stake you. That's what I'll do. I'm going to stake you because
you can't stake Bennett because
you don't know
play.
How to play. So we're going to stake you.
We want to have a chance to win.
Oh.
You want to have the chance to laugh at somebody. Why would you do that? You're just throwing money away.
It's for a good cause. No, it's not throwing money away. It's for a good cause, man.
You want to win. It's a good cause.
I think the grand prize is a luxury 7-day trip I don't know where it is yet. We'll ask Supreme. When we talk to him at 125. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to take your calls because Precious Achiuwa is on his official visit to the University of Memphis.
Yeah, don't come half-stepping. Y'all know how important a recruitment this is for Memphis.
What's your pitch? What's your pitch to Precious Achiuwa? Let's hear it. 535-3776, 535-ESPN. That's coming up when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.